My guest at this time is Richard Benedetto. For many years, he was the White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches politics and journalism at both American University and Georgetown University in the nation's capital. We want to get his thoughts on what is, at least for now, the last Republican presidential debate before certainly Arizona and Michigan and Super Tuesday, but how this debate and where we stand right now might shape the rest of this campaign. And Richard, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you again, Greg.
A lot of eyes, of course, certainly more than usual on Rick Santorum. In this debate, he's obviously surged since that three-state sweep a couple of weeks ago. Very different reactions. Some thought he had to talk in too much Senate speak about earmarks and explaining why he voted for things he didn't necessarily agree with back at the time as part of a team player. Others thought he did a pretty good job of defending himself since he was kind of the main target all night. Overall, do you think Santorum helped or hurt himself?
He needed to really knock the ball out of the park here if he was going to be take over the front runner position. I think a lot of people who looked in on that debate were not particularly familiar with Rick Santorum and were looking to see if he had whatever constitutes the right stuff to do it. I think that he was adequate, but I don't think he was outstanding. And I think he needed to be outstanding last night. He found himself on the defensive quite a bit. He did not get a lot of heavy bombardment, but I think he got some pointed bombardment, and therefore he didn't carry off some of those things too well because he sort of resorted to, well, I had to do it because it was what the party was doing.
And there are also not only with Santorum's record, but in almost implied were certain shots at the George W. Bush administration record. And, of course, for 6 years, Santorum was in the Senate in 6 of the 8 years of the Bush administration. So he's pretty much going to rise and fall with that record since there wasn't a whole lot of differences between his voting record and what the administration wanted to do, right?
Oh, right. Well, he was a Republican. You know, usually, you know, you vote with your party, and you have to live and die by that. And he was only being a good soldier. But the fact is that I think people are looking. I don't know what Republicans are looking for. They seem to be looking for different things in different weeks. But but the thing is that I think what's driving all the angst and all the unsettlement in the Republican ranks is the need to win, the strong desire to win. And they want to win so badly, and every time something comes along that makes them think that maybe we won't win, they get real nervous. And so I think that there's a sense that they think that Romney will make the strongest candidate, but at the same time, a lot of the conservatives in the party still are not convinced that he's the guy to carry the banner.
Which is why there's been so many different front runners. Folks obviously want to win, but they also want perhaps someone more conservative than Mitt Romney. Ultimately, if they have to choose, which one do you sense voters are going to go with? More electable or more palatable to conservatives?
Well, you know, the voting public, the public out there that votes, even though they, not in primaries, but in general elections, is not a very heavily political public. We the Americans are not a very political people. We pay attention to politics as a whole when we need to. The vast majority of Republicans in this country right now are not really paying that much attention to the presidential debates. They are hearing news of the presidential debates from week to week as they are held, and they sort of float with whatever the news is of that particular time. And so when a poll is being taken, the poll is often the voters are really reflecting what they've heard last. When it comes down to the election itself, the voters are then all of a sudden, late in the game, starting to compare the two candidates side by side. And that's when the race really gets to be at a crucial stage. We're nowhere near that yet, but what we're seeing in the Republican ranks, again, is that at angst about we want to win, we're not sure about whether our candidates are strong enough. Obama is enough of a force. He still dominates the media. Even with all this Republican race, Obama still has the ability to dominate the media, which gives Republicans a lot more nervousness because of the fact that they always see him out there. He's there every day. He's out there doing something. Most of it is pretty positive, like groundbreaking at the African-American Museum, visiting a college, you know, going to the Boeing plant, going to the Master Lock plant. He's out there and he's dominating the media, even at a time when the Republicans are still vying among each other to find a nominee.
Richard, a new poll out from Gallup, and they shared some of those results with your former organization, USA Today, showing a couple of things that would seem to be pretty optimistic for Republicans. They show Romney 4 points ahead of Obama, Santorum just 1 point behind, and 50% to 44 think the Obama administration's been a failure, although 50% still approve of his job as president, which is a little bit interesting. But which side should be more encouraged by those numbers?
Well, I think that the president's advisors are probably continuing to rely on the fact that if they can keep the president's job approval numbers around 50%, even though they're a little slightly below 50% right now, but they have been slightly below 50% for a long time. They've been pretty flat. And they're treading water, and they're glad to tread water as long as they think that the economy over time is going to get a little bit better. Presidents who are able to maintain a job approval rating of 50% in their election year or close to it usually get reelected. So that the fact of the matter is his job approval rating is not going down, and that's more important than anything for them right now.
That's certainly big news for Obama, considering where it's been in recent months until the last couple of months where it has hit that 50% mark. There's another number that's going up, though, as well, Richard, and that's the price of a gallon of gasoline at a pretty rapid pace, and who knows how it will fluctuate between now and November. But if, in fact, the fears of $4.50, $5 gas are anywhere near accurate, how does the president deal with that?
I don't know how he deals with it. It's a tough one. I know President Bush had to deal with it when he was president, and it didn't work out very well for him. The president's going to get blamed. There's very little the president can do. It is a real market thing, and there's little the president can do other than, you know, try this Band-Aid approach of you will release some of the oil from strategic oil reserve. But that doesn't. That's a short-term fix, and it doesn't do an awful lot. So that it could give the Republicans an issue of, you know, Obama is not pushing the drilling and the environmentalists are holding up the exploration for oil and so forth, and it gives them an issue.
Last question, Richard, and this came up at the debate. It's been a pretty big story over the last couple of weeks, and that's this debate over the president's health care mandate on employers originally covering contraception, and now it's insurance companies that'll have to pay for it, birth control pills and so forth. Initially, it looked like Republicans had the momentum by saying this was a violation of freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, and Democrats then tried to seize the opposite ground by suggesting that it showed the Republicans weren't very pro-woman. Which side do you think is getting the upper hand in this debate?
Well, my personal thesis is that this was a ruse on the part of the White House to get this issue out there at this time. And what it did was, if they were smart enough to figure this out, it was brilliant. And that is, it threw a whole new dimension into the Republican race. And it caused a lot of flux in there. Fact of the matter is that very, 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 very few people actually vote for president based upon the abortion or contraception or any of those kinds of social issues. People vote for president based upon a lot of other things, most of which are economy and national security. If you look at any of the polling, the people say that they're most concerned about the economy and national security. The people who are very strongly opposed to a contraception are people that are not going to vote for Barack Obama anyway, and people who are very supportive of are not people who are going to vote for the Republicans. I think that the White House really got, and if it did anything, it solidified Obama's support among young people who are the ones who were most concerned about the contraception issue.
Very interesting. Richard, real quick, any predictions for next week and what the significance will be after next Tuesday?
Well, you know, I've been wrong so many times on these primaries that I keep thinking, I think that Romney will pull them out. And I would be very surprised if Santorum won Michigan, and I would be very surprised if he won Arizona. I think that Romney can win both of those.
And if he does that, he's definitely got the...
I think he's got the momentum then.
After driver's seat heading into Super Tuesday.
But he's had it before.
Just about everybody has. So we'll see who has it in the end. That's when it matters. Richard, always great to have you. Thank you for your time.
Good to talk with you, Greg.
Richard Benedetto, longtime White House correspondent for USA Today, now teaches politics and journalism both at Georgetown and American universities here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.